All right. So I just would like to say how much of a blessing it's been to be here. And we actually prolonged our stay because y'all are feeding us so good. And actually, we had a problem with our mail. We had a change from Hyder, our postal clerk. She resigned and went to Thailand. Okay, so that made it difficult to get our mail. And our new postal clerk, she's doing everything according to the book, and she wants to send all of our mail back to sender, okay? And so we finally found someone that would actually do our mail for us, and they sent us a package, but the problem was they only left out the things that we needed in the package. So we're just trying to prolong this as long as we can because we're enjoying it so much. And so it's been a blessing to be here. Appreciate everyone's hospitality. of course, Brother Tyler, he had our family, and that's a big expenditure when you have a family our size come and eat. And we can eat a lot. And we ate a bunch of food over there. That was a blessing. Appreciate that. We enjoyed it. And of course, I was just kidding. And I mentioned, boy, wouldn't it be something to have steak? And this brother, actually, both of them got us some steak and cooked it so good that, boy, I tell you, I enjoyed that a lot. What a blessing. and then this morning's message, what a blessing. Boy, that was fantastic. Challenge my heart. I tell you. Some of these messages, you feel like you're on a frying pan and your feet are on fire. And, you know, that was a challenge to try to be a better Christian and get the best grade that we can. And so that's what I'd like to do as well. if you will, take your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, let's go to chapter number 3. And I've got a lot of material to cover, and I hope it goes well. But as I stand here, I don't feel worthy to stand before God's people and what God has done in my life and our family. I deserve hell. That's what I deserve. And everything that God has done is just by grace. And whatever you see, if it's good in the Bach family, it is by the grace of God. And I just want to give Him the glory for what He's doing. And if anyone turns out in our family and serves the Lord, and I'm hoping and trusting that they will, I'm saying all the way to the judgment seat, not just present tense, all the way, and gets a good grade, that'll be the grace of God. That's all that is. Because, you know, I remember where the Lord brought me from and the generations that didn't know the Lord, and God has done something that He has done for His glory, and we'll figure it out when we get to the judgment seat, because this should not have happened in the normal routine of things. But God, He saved my oldest brother, He saved me, He saved my father, and God has done a great work, and I just give Him the glory. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 23, says, therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Let's pray. Lord, we do commit this time to you. Pray that you bless it and speak to our hearts and encourage your people, your church. And Lord, that you'd help us all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we start with this curse. And then you get over to chapter 4. you find conception. And Cain is born. And Eve says, notice, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And then you go on down through here and you find this keeper called Abel in verse number 2. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. And he was a conscientious son. Because we find he gave the Lord his first and his best. And he regarded the Lord. And then we find Cain's countenance. And we find that he has the first frown in the Bible. You see, we don't find anyone frowning until we get to Cain. And he's frowning. And so, verse number 5, it says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So he's frowning, not very happy. And then we find in verse 6 again, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? So we find Abel the keeper and Cain with a fallen countenance because his offering isn't accepted where his brother's is. And then we find this capital offense. Now, a capital offense is a major offense that can cause you to die. And so, verse number 8, and Cain talked with Abel, and he rose up against Abel, his brother, and what did he do? He slew him. So he killed his brother. And we find this extended curse. Remember, Adam was cursed in verse 23 and 24, and he was sent out of the garden. And Adam may have said to his sons, Cain and Abel, when they asked their dad, Dad, why are we not in that beautiful garden over there? And he could have said, well, because your mother ate us out of house and home. Amen? But anyway, we find this extended curse in chapter 4, and now art thou cursed from the earth, God tells Cain. And so this curse, it goes back to the sin of Adam and Eve, and now it's transferred to the son Cain. It's a very serious situation. And as we, and I did a review of Seattle. I don't know why, just one of these videos came up, and I looked at the homelessness, and a lot of that has to do with sin. And it's people that refuse to repent of sin, and they have this curse, and God told him in verse 12, you're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond. And so that's a beggar, you see. And so this is pretty serious, you see. And so we find an extended curse and then an offended conscience. And verse 13, and Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. So his conscience is troubling him. He knew he did something really bad. And he expected something to happen. And he said, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And so he has an offended conscience. And we find he's not a spiritual son like Abel. In verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. So he's not trying to draw close to the Lord. He's running from the Lord. There's a lot of people that are running from the Lord. But aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? And so then we find a consolation in chapter 4, because Abel is now dead. But there's a consolation. Their son is gone. He has passed on. Terrible situation. Murder in their home among their siblings. These siblings. But then we find that after this curse, there's a conception. In chapter 4, Consolation, chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. Now notice, for God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel. And so here is a consolation. It's some encouragement. In chapter 4, verse 26, notice, and to Seth and to him also there were born a son, or there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And so this was Eve's consolation from God. This was encouragement in a bad situation. And so I want to talk about God's encouragement. God's encouragement. In the face of this loss, God, He gave a present or a blessing. He gave another child. And this child also feared the Lord, you see. And that was a blessing. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And this was a great encouragement to Eve. And so God, He can encourage us too. And through the Bible, we'll find where there are losses and crosses, but there is times when God just comes in and encourages us in those times. And so we need that. We need that. We find other people in the Bible that needed encouragement. We meet quickly this person by the name of Enoch. In chapter 5 and verse number 22, and Enoch walked with God. And he begat Methuselah. And so we find this man, Enoch, he walked with God, and God encouraged this man. Now, we don't find the encouragement too much other than he walked with God until we get into the book of Jude. And we see that in the book of Jude that God told Enoch some things to encourage him. One thing that God told him was that he was coming again. And that he would fix the world. And that he would straighten out things that were going on. And all the injustices that were all around him. Now, I don't know about you, but have you noticed that there are injustices in the world today? Has anybody noticed that? There are injustices all around. And these injustices, it's grievous to us. I mean, there can be, you know, people that are, they're not kind, or, you know, could do things to us that we feel violated or injured or troubled about. But that we know that this is nothing new in the world of this cursed world that we live. And for Enoch, as he walked with God, he learned about some things. In the book of Jude, verse 14, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And so let's just go back there to the book of Jude. And let's look at some of these things. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. So God let him know this. It says, behold, the Lord cometh to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. Now it's getting harder and harder to convince people that they're in the wrong. You can show them in every way, but they just refuse to see it. I think Enoch had that same problem. And so God let him know that I'm going to convince them. And I'm going to work this out. And it says, notice verse number 15, to execute judgment upon all and convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. And you know the biggest problem with the world? It's ungodly. It's ungodly. That means not done. People don't do things God's way. You see, if we all do things God's way, the world would be a wonderful place to be. And when we get to heaven, that's what it's going to be like. Everybody's going to do things God's way. And notice, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And so God encouraged Enoch by the second coming, and with these words, that he will convince the ungodly of their ungodliness. And so this was an encouragement to Enoch with this prophecy, with these truths, that he could look forward and know that God is going to take care of the problem. You know, Jesus, he encourages us too. Jesus encourages us with presence. You know, the gift of God is eternal life. That's a present. But God gives other gifts. If we're saved, we have a gift, a spiritual gift. And that gift, when employed, makes a person as happy as you can possibly be. When we exhaust our spiritual gifts, this is the key to happiness. And so the Lord gives gifts, and God gives his presence, not just presence, but presence. God gives his presence, and his presence is promised in Matthew 28. And the Lord said, I'll go with you to the end of the world. Now the world is changing. The world is getting harder. The Bible talks about it'll wax worse and worse. But the Lord said, I'll go with you to the end of the world. And so this is a blessing that God gives us. Now we go on, and we find God encourages us not only with his presence and presence, but God, we see in Genesis chapter 5, look at verse number 29. Lamech, verse 28, lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. So there's that curse again. But here's God's encouragement in spite of the curse. There's thorns, there's thistles, but now there's a son. And we find that Lamech had Noah. Now you know what Noah did growing up? What do you think he did? He pulled weeds. He worked with his father. And he was a big blessing. And so Noah spent a lot of time preparing, plowing, and planting. And God gave Noah, Lamech, Noah as a son and a helper, you see. And so this was a blessing. And the Bible says, children are the heritage of the Lord. And so we need to count our many blessings. Now, I was at a point where, you know, you notice I don't have hair up there. Well, I was at a point where I was ready to pull my hair out. Why? Because we had three little heathen boys, sons. And, you know, when they're real little, you don't get a whole lot of production out of them. And I was a little bit troubled about, you know, when the idea of having another one, you know, and then another one, and another one. And Mr. Adams, he said, you got a lot of help. Well, I didn't really think about it till later. But boy, when they were nailing that last nail in our house, them big boys, I felt like, what a blessing. Amen. And so we need to thank the Lord for our children. Children are the heritage of the Lord. And we can rejoice in the Lord as he gives us children. And just hang on. If you teach them, now you got to teach them. They're productive. They can help. They're a blessing. Amen. Does anybody here believe in children? They're a blessing. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for our young people and our children. And then Now, when the, you know, the grandkids start coming, they're, I don't feel that way anymore. What a, you know, all these kids around. No, they, you know, the grandkids, they're easy, amen? They're a lot easier. But thank the Lord for children. They're a gift to the to our parents, and we're a gift, and they are to us. And so we find God's blessing and being a parent. And then we find God's revelation. We find for Noah. This is a blessing and an encouragement to Noah. Chapter 6, verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man. Now he's talking to Noah. The Lord is fed up with the world. He's had it. He's ready to destroy it. And so God encouraged Noah. He found grace. And Noah walked with God. And so God gave his intervention and protection to Noah's family in the face of all that he was facing. The Bible says in verse 11, the day was corrupt. Listen, the day is corrupt today, more so than I've ever seen it. And it was corrupted. Again, it says it in verse 12. And God used something to help as a remedy in the corruption. And it was separation. And so we find in chapter 6, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh, verse 13, is come before me, for the Lord is, or for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark. Now, what's that ark for? It's going to separate Noah from the world that's going to perish. And so, it's not only separating him after the flood, but before the flood. His life is involved, Noah's life and his family, with building that ark. Amen? And so that's a big project. And so God, we find after the flood, shut them, or right before the flood, I should say, shut him in. And so God shuts us in. And separation is the only way that we're going to protect our family from the corruption that's in the world. And the more separated we are, the more chance of preservation we will have. And so the last thing we want to do is allow the corruption of the world to begin to reach into our families. And then we find God blessed Noah in chapter 9, in verse 1. After the flood, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons, in verse number 8. And God gave a token of the covenant of the rainbow. And so this all encouraged Noah. God's blessing. And God can bless us too. Okay, this was a long time ago. But God can bless we that are here as well. In spite of all that's going on, we can still be blessed. And so I want to just look at some New Testament passages and look at the blessing of the Lord. So if you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all what? Comfort. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. And so God can bless us with comfort in troubled times. We need that. And notice, in all our tribulation. And so this gives us purpose in troubled times. You see. And then notice, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so God encourages us with comfort in troubled times. Knowing, verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And so knowing our sufferings have a consolation. A consolation. What is that? That's being consoled and encouraged that God comforted you in your trouble, and you can comfort someone else in their trouble. That's your consolation prize. So no matter what we go through, it seems sometimes we go through the worst circumstances. Verse 8, notice what it says. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength. And notice, insomuch that we despaired even of life. That's troubled times. And so Paul said he was pressed out of measure, but in face of that, God comforted him. And so what did he do? He comforted others. And so that's what we can do. We can comfort others in troubled times. We can be encouraged by knowing that we're graced and that we're blessed and that God is with us in these troubled times, even in the face of death. Now, I don't know what we're going to face in the future as Christians, but we're finding that the world's getting tougher and tougher on Bible Christianity. And so we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And the Lord can help us even in the troubled times. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We can be encouraged by the Lord in the worst of times. We can be encouraged by God knowing certain things. Chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so we can be blessed knowing how we're graced by God. We find that in verse number 2. Grace be unto you. And blessed by God in verse number 3. And adopted in his family and accepted in that family, redeemed, enlightened, and given an inheritance by the Lord. And so verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained what? An inheritance. An inheritance. Have you ever heard that song, "It'll Be Worth It All When We See Christ"? It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. The pain will be worth the gain. Amen. And so, serving Jesus and following Jesus. This is a blessing as God encourages us. And then turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. It's interesting. These are all chapter 1, verse 3. That we're looking at. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so we can be encouraged knowing we have a hope, and that hope is based on the resurrection. Verse number 3, a lively hope, a resurrection, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this gives us encouragement in these days to an inheritance incorruptible. So the devil can't steal that. In verse number 4, to an inheritance incorruptible. And notice we have security that's unalterable. It says we're kept by the power of God. That's verse number 5. We're kept, or I'm sorry, an inheritance and security. Yeah, verse number 5. and we have rejoicing in trials that are purposeful. In verse number 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And so though the troubles come, the trials come, there's purpose in that, because there's joy unspeakable. And we find that in verse number 8. And it talks about whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so this joy unspeakable. And so this is what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have Jesus, in verse number 9, it says, receiving the end of your salvation, the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And so that is a complete salvation when Jesus comes again. And so this is what encourages us, knowing that the Lord's going to come and he's going to fix everything. And that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. What a day that will be when the Lord Jesus comes back again. And so the Lord encourages us, knowing he's going to fix every problem. And so what problems do we have today? Do we have any problems in the world? Well, yeah, we've got problems. What about our future in America? The hope of a continued blessed nation like we've had for all these years. Well, we don't know about that. But we know that Jesus is coming again and he's going to fix everything. And so we can rejoice in that, that he has a complete salvation. So all these truths should encourage us. Like Eve with her loss. You know, she lost her son, but God gave her another son. She lost the hope of salvation because in Cain she just couldn't see that hope at all. But Seth came along and people began to call upon the name of the Lord. That gave them hope, you see. And so in Enoch, in his culture, you know, it was bad. It was real bad. But, you know, God said, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And he's going to convince all these ungodly people. Don't you think Enoch tried? And he wasn't successful. And it was so bad, God took him home. He just couldn't handle it. And then with Lamech, with his labors, God encouraged him. He gave him Noah. And Noah helped in the cursed ground. He'd probably pull the weeds and clear the land and help plant the seed and reap the harvest. This was an encouragement to him. And so, like Noah and his circumstances, it was so bad, God separated him and gave him a project, and he got busy in that project. And listen, there's nothing better and more safe for our children to get involved in the work of the Lord. Amen. And so, yeah, we need to do all those other things, but being involved in the work of the Lord. There was some missionaries, and they felt called to a certain field. And that field had a lot of snakes. And they decided, we're not going to send our children and go to this place with all these snakes. Guess what happened? They stayed home from the field, and their children died of snake bite. So the safest place that we can be is in the center of the will of God. It's the safest place we can be. And so Noah, he got involved in this huge project, building this great ark, and it helped preserve you and I today. Because we go back to Noah and his sons. And so, like Paul and his troubles, God gave him trouble, but he gave him consolation. And God gives us encouragement too. And so we need to let God encourage us and see the good in sometimes the bad things that happen. Amen? Because God can get us through the bad times, and we can encourage someone else and help them in their trouble and tribulation. And that's our consolation. And so that's what the Lord gave me. I hope it's a blessing. And turn it over to the preacher.